Wisdom is one of the most biblical and one of the greatest coveted things that we read of. My message tonight, and we've been dealing with the practicalities of this, giving you basic building blocks, because it's not enough to say you ought to be wise, or you're meant to be wise, or to pray for wisdom. We are literally to live this out. Proverbs 26, and my message tonight, the application of wisdom. The application of wisdom. Proverbs 26, reading from verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off his feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honour to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Father, we just thank you for the simplicity of your word. Father, we ask of you, Lord God, for a wisdom to know how to apply it. Lord God, we not only need wisdom, but we need to know how to use it. We need to know how to use wisdom in our speech, our actions, in every decision of life. Father, I ask of you, even in this meeting, give us wisdom. I ask for the sovereign wisdom of my God. Father, we want to learn, we want to grow, we don't want to be wasteful. We don't want to remain where we are. We want to change, my God. We want to attain unto wisdom, that we might know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and who to do it with. Lord God, we're asking for your help in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let me read again verse 4 and verse 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Then verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. Can I say that again? Notice it. Verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. My message tonight is the application of wisdom. How to apply wisdom. What to do with wisdom. How to use wisdom. It's okay to have a car. It's okay to sit in a driver's seat, but can you drive it? It's okay to have a gun in your hand, but are you legally using it, and do you know how to use it? A gun is a dangerous thing in the hands of a man who doesn't know how to use it. You could say that you have wisdom, but if you don't know how to use it, what good is there? What good is it to you? This message tonight on the application of wisdom, or let me give you another subtitle or heading, the art of answering. The art of answering, because the art of being able to answer with our words is actually the application of wisdom. What is it to have the art or the ability to know how to answer a man or a woman? I mean anything in your life, in every situation, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your home, with your children or with your parents, the art of answering, or the ability to know how to answer any individual in our lives, whether they're a sinner in the world or a Christian in the church, this art of answering is actually the ability of knowing how to apply wisdom in every situation. You see, nowhere do we need wisdom more than in the use of our speech. The speech is actually a very precious thing. All of us do speak. Every one of you in this room this week, I can promise you, are going to respond to some comment. You're actually going to answer. Every one of you in here, in the past week, you have answered somebody in some way, in some situation. In the past week, you've done it. In the week to come, you will do it. And I can assure you, if you don't have wisdom all of your answers are going to be lacking. You will be demanded of an answer. People in around you are going to face you with questions, or with statements, or with inquiries, or even with challenges. You are going to come under that. But can I ask you tonight, do you know the art of answering? Do you know the art of responding to people? Do you know how to speak? Because I want to tell you, the key to knowing how to answer every man in every situation is wisdom. If you lack wisdom, you're not prepared for it. If you're void of knowledge and understanding, and if you lack wisdom, you are actually not equipped to answer accurately. You see, nowhere do we need wisdom more than in this realm of speech, our conversation, our communication with other people. We're told in Malachi chapter 3 and 16, then they that feared the Lord, notice, they that feared the Lord, what is the key to wisdom? Fear in the Lord. It's those who have a heart within them who fear the Lord. They will be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now notice in Malachi 3 it says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. What is this conversation coming out of? This dialogue in the church, where does it come from? It comes out of the fear of the Lord. And it says the Lord hearken, not just man. It's not just us talking together. Never just think you can have a conversation with someone or speak to any individual and it's just between you and that person. It's never just between you and a person. Not one of your conversations are private. And I'm not speaking about Big Brother. And I'm not speaking about your cell phone or some of the latest technology. I want to tell you there is a God who watches over every single word of your mouth. And it says the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I want you to note here in this verse, twice we're told about those who fear the Lord. We're actually told that those who fear the Lord and speak together, God writes a book about their conversation. The only conversation that gets recorded in heaven by God, and that he says, I'm going to keep this before me, is actually those who speak out of the fear of God. All of their conversation, their dialogue, their communications, their answers, all of this actually pours forth out of the fear of God. The fear of God stands behind it. And I'm going to tell you, in Malachi 3, the conversations that are recorded in heaven are marked by divine wisdom. You cannot have the fear of the Lord and not speak with wisdom. The great mark of those who fear God is that they will speak with wisdom. All of us have a different level of wisdom, or we're at a different level of maturity. But if you fear God, wisdom will affect your words. It won't be foolish answers. There's going to be wise answers. It's not going to be a foolish reaction. There's going to be a wise reaction. And don't you feel your need of it? To have the wisdom of God to know how to respond. We all have to respond to people. We're having to respond to unsaved family members. And it must be wise. If you respond to them in a foolish manner, there will be a consequence to that. But we want to learn this art of answering. And the very art of answering is to have the wisdom of God. Again, it says in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, a soft, and listen this carefully, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Now you need the wisdom of God. If you're going to be able to answer someone in a way that turns away their anger. Here they are in front of you. They have said something to you or done something in anger. What are you going to do? Be angry back? Are you going to accuse them? Are you going to lash out at them? That takes no wisdom. But it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Do you know what that means? They had wisdom. It's going to take wisdom to make a man standing in front of you with anger to turn away his wrath. What is a soft answer? It's a tender and gentle answer. Do you realize the wisdom of God in your life will make you be a person who knows how to turn away other people's wrath? It also says, but grievous words stir up anger. It doesn't take wisdom to be grievous or hurtful in your speech. If and when, and all of us have done it, haven't we? We have at some point or in some word lashed out at someone or even hurt someone or tried to hurt someone. And it takes no wisdom. That shows there's no godly wisdom in that. Where you lash out at someone, where you try to hit back at them like they have with you, you're showing absolutely zero wisdom. It doesn't take wisdom to respond with passion and with anger and with vengeance. There's no wisdom in that. But the art of knowing how to answer such a man, and this is the dilemma. I'm in front of a man. What am I going to say? I'm going to use a soft answer. That takes divine wisdom. It also says in chapter 15 verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Do you realize that a wise answer from your mouth will bring joy to your heart? If you just lash out or there's no wisdom in your conversation, you will suffer for it. I can assure you, the years will reveal it. But if you're someone who actually seeks for wisdom to know how to answer, and in fact your answers are marked by wisdom, then this is going to be the fruit of it. There is a fruit in all of these things. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? That means the right words at the right time for the right person. Now you can't do that, can you? I can't do that. We need wisdom. How am I going to be made joyful? How do I learn how to be joyful by the answer in my mouth? I need wisdom. It doesn't come out of my flesh. Are my passions? I need the wisdom of God. Look at verse 28 in chapter 15. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Notice here, if you don't have wisdom, if you just respond in the flesh, it takes no wisdom. But it actually says, the heart of the righteous, they study the answer. Or they think, or they meditate. Or they begin to say, no, what am I going to say here? Show me someone who doesn't premeditate their answer. They, whatever comes out, comes out. You'll get yourself in trouble. Those words will always get yourself in trouble. You see, there's an art to knowing how to answer in every situation. Or what about chapter 18 and verse 13? It says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it. Now, is this a foolish man or a wise man? Who answereth before he heareth the matter. We know immediately that it is folly and shame unto him. That's what it says here. To begin to answer something before you've heard it. I've done it before. I've begun to answer someone and I say, Keith, shut up and listen. If you listen long enough, you'll know how to answer. If you just know all the facts. If you're someone who tends to be quick to answer and you don't even know what you're answering, it shows a lack of wisdom. We need divine wisdom. Wisdom will make me sit quiet and hear the person out. Wisdom will actually make me say, no, hold on, make sure they reveal to you what they're saying. If you begin to answer them, you'll make a mistake. Make sure you understand them. Make sure you hear them. Then answer them. You see, all of this is just basic, fundamental wisdom. But let's come to the crunch of this. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, answer not a fool. Verse 5 says, answer a fool. What are we meant to do, saints? We are told on one hand not to answer a fool. Then the Bible says, answer a fool. Which is it? Have we finally, after all these years, found a contradiction in the Bible? See, the Bible contradicts itself. It says, answer a fool. Then it says, not answer a fool. What am I to do? What are you to do tonight? Are you meant to answer a fool? Are you not meant to answer a fool? Do you turn your back on the fool and say, I'm having nothing to do with him? Right, I've got a bit of knowledge here. If I find a fool, don't go near him. Don't answer him about anything. Stay away from him. Is that what we're meant to do? Is that wisdom? Or, here I found a fool. Answer him. Always answer a fool. Always get right in there and say, okay, I'm ready to answer you. Is that wisdom? You see, here in the Bible we're told two things. They're two sides of the same coin. They're placed here verse by verse, side by side, that we might learn something. We're told, and this is knowledge. This is a fact. Answer the fool. We're also told, don't answer the fool. Now, please note here, this is not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's a dilemma. It's a real dilemma. If you answer a fool, you will be like him. If you don't answer a fool, he will assume you are like him. Now you're in a dilemma. What do you do? Do you answer him? Do you not answer him? Do you keep your mouth shut or do you speak up? How do you deal with this? Do you walk off and keep quiet and say, just leave him alone and let him say whatever he's going to say? Or do I actually open my mouth and say something? Do I really want to enter conversation with this person? You see, it's not a contradiction. It's a dilemma. You have a dilemma. And I want to tell you, there's going to be certain situations in which you better not answer a fool. There's other situations in which you better answer the fool. But which is it? What are you going to do? How are you going to decide what to do? You see, these two statements do not contradict each other. They're actually complementary. You actually need both of them. Because there is a time when you're meant to answer a fool. But there's another time when you mustn't answer the fool. And the Bible gives us all of this knowledge. Now I've just given you knowledge and a problem. I've given you a dilemma. I've given you knowledge. But without wisdom, what does knowledge mean? You see, you need great wisdom to know how to apply these things. Let me just point out four simple things about these two verses which are in common. First of all, you're dealing with the same type of person in each case. It's a fool. Whether you answer or don't answer, you're dealing with a fool. You're dealing with the exact same person. Who is a fool? He is somebody who lacks any sense. He doesn't use his brain. And he doesn't have righteous judgment. He doesn't have any of these things. That is the person that you are dealing with. He says in both cases, whether you answer or don't answer, you're dealing with a fool. A man who doesn't use his brain, he's got no real intelligence. He doesn't know how to judge things. He doesn't weigh things. He doesn't stop and think. Here is a man you're dealing with. He isn't guarding his heart. Every answer of his mouth, it doesn't come from the fear of God. It doesn't have patience in it. He isn't holding it back and studying his answer. Whatever comes to his mouth, he just speaks it. That's the first thing. Both of them are dealing with a fool. Secondly, this fool is doing exactly the same thing in both cases. Or his problem is the same. Or his problem is the same in both cases. It is folly. What is folly? Silliness. You're actually dealing with someone who's caught up in silliness. He's a fool. He's caught up in silliness. What he's doing or what he's saying, it is of no consequence. But notice secondly that the fool is doing the exact same thing in both cases. He is caught up in folly or silliness, the third thing. An answer is given in both cases. Both situations demand an answer. There's got to be an answer. Notice he says, don't answer. He's not saying don't answer. He's actually saying, don't answer a fool in a certain way. Although that answer may be to be quiet. That is as much an answer. When you say, I'm not saying anything. And we see this at times in the Bible. Just don't say anything. It's wiser not to say anything, or they'll catch your words. There is a time to be silent, and there is a time to speak. So notice in both cases, an answer has to be given. But what type of answer? Fourthly, the person who's dealing with this fool and this folly and with the answer is a wise man or someone with wisdom. Notice he has to deal with this, and it's going to take wisdom. Now these two verses, what's the answer to answer it not a fool and answering a fool? The key is wisdom. You will not be able to get this correct unless you have wisdom. And this is what wisdom is. I am faced with two different situations. One of them, I've got to answer him according to his folly. The other one, I must not answer him according to his folly. How do I decide which is which? How do I know? Wisdom reveals it. Without wisdom, you will not know. But it's important for us to realize that wisdom is not a divine revelation. When you're faced with a fool or with foolishness or a situation and you're there looking at going, this is silly. This is silly, all these words, and I've got to respond to it. What am I to do? I need wisdom. I need to pray for wisdom. And if you don't pray for wisdom in these situations, you are foolish. To simply go, well, I've got facts. That could get you in trouble. You better have more than facts or a knowledge of the Bible. You better have wisdom. But notice here, it's not a divine revelation. Wisdom isn't just a gift that God gives you. It's not just a voice where the Lord says, now do this here and do this here. Don't speak to him now and speak to him. That isn't wisdom. Do you realize wisdom is something you grow in? Wisdom is something you learn. Wisdom is something you mature in. That's why the Proverbs speak about the man with hoary head. And that means with white hair. And if we have it, that it's a sign of wisdom. But we know that white hair isn't always a sign of wisdom. There's some people without any white hair that could be wise. Someone with only white hair, then they could be foolish. But what Proverbs is saying is, the wisdom it's talking about comes with time and experience and maturity and patience. We can grow in wisdom. Do you know when I come across 10 situations exactly the same, after those 10, I've gained a lot of wisdom. Some people go through the same situations, they've never learnt anything. But we are meant to learn from those things. But please notice, it's not that God just says, do this or do that. He gives you wisdom. You're to grow in wisdom, that you learn how to handle those situations, even similar situations, you know how to answer. Do you remember what the word for wisdom is in the Hebrew? The actual Hebrew word means the palate of your mouth or your ability to taste. And that's how wisdom is defined. The palate of the mouth tests everything before it swallows. It's there going, now what is this? I need to size it up. I need to understand it. I need to know it. The palate of the mouth reveals what wisdom is. When you're faced with a situation, you immediately go to prayer. You're immediately sizing everything up. And I want to tell you, when you're moved with passion, that isn't wisdom. When you instantly respond, that is not wisdom. Real wisdom is the correct ability to judge things. Here's a fool in front of you. Here's lots of foolish situations and you're caught up in it. What are you going to do? I actually need the ability to judge this situation. What is happening here? What is going on? What is spiritual? What is fleshly? What's of God? What's of the devil? What is of man? I'm judging it and saying, what is going on here? I need wisdom. Since you cannot discern that by yourself, wisdom is the ability to look at a situation and say, I know what's going on. I can see what's going on. And that wisdom is not an emotion or a passion or even a thought in the mind. This is actually something that you have learned over many years, and it's come from God and it's in line with the Bible. Passion is very rarely the wisdom of God. Passion can be a reaction. And we can get angry righteously, but even righteous anger is wrong when we keep it. That righteous anger had better be short term. You see, wisdom is marked by time. Remember what we said? We study to give an answer. If you're quick to answer without thinking, maybe you need to hold back and look for more wisdom. Wisdom is always marked with patience, with much thought, and with much consideration. Show me a rash answer, an impatient answer, an emotional answer, and 9 times out of 10, it will have very little wisdom in it. You could be angry with a person being angry with you. Show me 2 people in contention, clashing, saying the same thing back and forth. Don't tell me there's any wisdom there. If I see 2 people clashing like that, I'm going, either both of them lack wisdom or one of them lacks wisdom. But there's certainly a lack of wisdom in this situation. Wisdom is the ability to know what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. These are the things in the Bible. You might say, I don't want to give time to that. Then you won't be wise. You see, wisdom is not a click of the finger. It's not a miracle from God. I want to miraculously have it all imparted for me today and just know what to do and when to do it. You're going to have to learn this. It is a art of answering. It is the ability to apply wisdom to your situations. We all have situations. We all have relationships. It's the knowledge of what to do and when to do it and even who to say these things to. But also it's wisdom. Wisdom is not just having facts. Some people think they know the Bible. They've heard the preaching or they've heard a message on a certain aspect, so they know what to do in every situation. And they think they've learnt the teaching, read the Bible, they gather all the facts. I'm wise. I know how to do things. I know what to do. I know the answer. Yes, yes, I can give you the answer to your question. Knowledge doesn't give you that ability. You see, your knowledge could be limited by a few facts. You might have some knowledge. And I've noticed over the years, people who have few facts are always very vocal. They'll tell you everything that they know and it doesn't take very long. They actually think they have all the facts. No, you've got some facts. Or someone with knowledge, they can be proud in heart. That shows they don't have wisdom. Pride in the heart shows you're lacking wisdom. If you're answering people or if you're responding to people and you're proud about it, be assured there's something wrong with your answer. It is a proud answer rather than a wise answer. You could have knowledge, you could have facts, and yet do harm to a person or a situation. All my life I've watched many situations. I've literally watched on as people are given facts. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. And I pull a scripture out of the Bible. Look, it says this in the Bible. But is it wise? You go back and you tell them this. But is it wise? Well, do you know what I would do in that situation? Hold on. I'm looking for wisdom. That's why I want wise counselors around me. What is a wise counselor? A patient person. How do I know a wise counselor? In fact, when I go to him with a question, I know I'm not getting their opinion or their idea or some impression that they have. Or I had a dream last night. I want something to come out of years of experience to help me. It's not that person answer me. It's somebody who has gained knowledge, put it together, and knows what to do in a certain situation. It says in Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. You can actually use knowledge wrongly. Oh, but I've got knowledge. I have facts. And I apply it the same in every situation. No, you need wisdom. It's the tongue of the wise knoweth how to use wisdom aright. Do you know how to use wisdom? Well, I know what the Bible says. Yes, but do you know how to use it? I'll give you an example of this. The Bible says that if someone in our midst falls away to drunkenness, I mean, they go out into the world and they're really hitting a bottle and they're getting drunk. If they were really born again, it says, go to them and try and recover them. It takes someone with meekness. And it says, if they don't listen to you, take a second person. Now, that's what the Bible says. What am I going to do? Okay, I need to take someone that haven't listened to me. Right, who am I going to take in this church? Well, this person has a lot of knowledge. And they'll be able to argue them around and say, this is where you're wrong. Or do I choose someone who actually fell into drunkenness as a believer? Jimmy over here, he actually fell into drunkenness as a Christian. Why don't I take him? You know why? Because it shows love. It'll give that person hope. That is wisdom. You see, I can take anyone with me to help recover them, but why don't I take someone who actually suffered what they went through, who can actually say, I sinned like you sinned, I failed like you failed, I went back into the world, but you know what? The Lord delivered me. There's hope. That is applying wisdom. I can take anyone. I can take a hatchet man. I could take a man who's an encyclopedia of the Bible. They'll detail all the wrongs and all the rights and say, there, you're wrong. Brilliant. I knew I was wrong. You're giving me facts, but what about wisdom? Wisdom is a man sitting there with tears rolling down his cheek who says, I know what it's like. And you know what? The Lord wants to come back again. That's wisdom. Do you know, I was 13 years old when I heard a man say that. And he was the only man in my entire lifetime of hearing any sermon my entire life who suggested that. Do you know what Keith Malcolmson said? Thank you. I've learned something. And you know what? I'll apply that in the days and the years ahead. You see, knowledge is not wisdom. Having all the facts and details does not mean that you're prepared to answer a fool or you know what to do in situations. We need more than knowledge. It's having a wisdom, a discernment. Wisdom says, yes, use it. No, don't use it. Yes, say it. No, don't say it. You've got all the same facts. You've got all the same knowledge. But wisdom says, yes, speak now. Or hold your tongue. Let's go to these scriptures here very quickly. Look at verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Notice here, there is a way which we must not answer the fool. Be sure there's a way in which you must not speak to a fool or be involved in this situation. It says, answer not a fool. You're not to do this. It's very clear. What are you not to do? Answer him according to his folly. What does it actually mean? It actually means don't answer him in a foolish manner. He is being foolish. Don't come down to his level. Don't come down and meet him on his ground. He's defending himself. Don't you defend yourself. He's accusing you. Do not begin to accuse him. He wants to argue. Don't you enter that argument. He wants to criticize. Don't begin to criticize. He is in the midst of contention. Don't get drawn into it. You see, this is what you must not. This is how you do not answer a fool. If you do, you've failed. You haven't applied wisdom. It takes wisdom in order to stay out of this. If you come down to the level of argument, accusing, defending yourself, striking out, getting irritated, burning inside, shaking or whatever else, you have met a fool on his own ground. You're as bad as the person you're speaking to. There's no wisdom. That doesn't take wisdom. All of us have done it at some stage. There's no wisdom in that. It actually takes wisdom to go, no. I'm not going to answer the fool according to his folly. I'm not going there. That takes wisdom. Do you see what wisdom does? It keeps you back. It withholds you. It makes you slow. It makes you to cover your mouth. And that's what wisdom actually does. And it says, notice the second half of this verse 4. It says, lest thou also be like unto him. Notice that answering him according to his folly makes you like him. You want to argue, then you're like him. You want to criticize, you're like the fool. But I'm a Christian. Well, you're acting like a fool. If you get caught up in all of that, accusing, pointing, all the rest, you're no example. You're acting like a fool. You've been pulled down from the heights of wisdom, and you're standing, you're no better than them. And why then would you try to correct them or answer them? Sure, you've got nothing to give them. You're no example. You're exactly like them. You have actually proved you have nothing to say to them at all. It was once said many years ago that a dog barked at a princess, but the princess never barked back at the dog. She's a princess, the dog's a dog. I'm not going to go out in the street tonight and a dog barking at me. I'm not getting down on all fours and barking him. You're not going to see me go up the street like that. If you walk out of the store and see me going down the road barking at a dog, giving it as good as I get, biting its tail, you'll go, what's he doing? He's become a dog. He's acting like a dog. He said, well, has he lost his mind? Has he lost his sense? What's he doing? You see, we are higher than that. As a Christian, as a believer, I am not to act like a dog. They lie on me. Why would I lie on them? I'm no better than them. They get angry at me. Why would I get angry at them? I am just becoming like them. You see, this is wisdom applied. I'm a princess. I'm a prince with Jesus Christ. I am to be a wise Christian. They can be a fool, but I'm not becoming a fool. I'm to be a wise man. My wisdom is to contrast their foolishness. Can I ask you, does your wisdom contradict the foolishness of this world? The answers, the comments, the conversation out there, do we contradict it with our wisdom? Or are we like them? Oh, but I'm a Christian inside. Yes, but what about your words? Oh, but I know lots of Bible facts. But are you applying wisdom? Then secondly, in verse 5, it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. You see, there is a way and a time to answer a fool. Don't just think we're meant to stay away from fools. We're not. Just don't think we're meant to cover our mouth and not get involved in a conversation with a fool. We are not. There's times to get involved and times not. Times to answer according to his folly and times not to. We must not be silent. Many times when we're dealing with fools or with silly situations, we must speak. How else is wisdom going to be revealed? Here is foolishness. Am I going to bring wisdom into it, or am I going to sit silent? Oh, well, let them go on in their foolishness. No, we are meant to reveal wisdom. Notice here it says, answer him. How are we to answer him? According to his folly. But you've just said not to answer him according to his folly. But it's talking about something very different here. He says, lest he be wise in his own conceit. If you don't answer the fool at this time, he's going to be wise in his own conceit. If you don't bring forth an answer, if you don't say something, if you don't open your mouth, if you just sit there quiet with all of this stored up, he is actually going to think he's very wise. Have you ever been in a situation, nobody's meant to speak or contradict, but you say something? You see, speaking a word in season, at the right time, wisdom is light. Foolishness is darkness. When we bring wisdom in amidst foolishness, we are shining a light on the darkness. Notice here it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He thinks he is wise. He is built up in pride. Listen to what Job said in Job chapter 2 and verse 9. You'll remember his trials. He lost all of his children. He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his herds. What would you be like? It says, then said his wife unto him, that is Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? What's she going to say to him? Well, what do you do when you've lost everything? All your children have been smitten in one day. What are you going to say to your husband? Or to your wife, or to your friend, or to your brother in Christ? Do you know what she said? Curse God and die. Do you still have integrity? Do you still have integrity? Don't you judge Mrs. Job. She's just lost all of her children, her house, her wealth, everything in one day. And she's looking at her husband. And what's he doing? He's actually on his face worshiping God. Saying, I came into the world naked, I'll go out naked, I worship you, Lord. She's saying, do you still have your integrity? Curse God and die. What did Job respond? Is he going to respond to her in the same way? Does he keep quiet? Just be nice and spiritual. Don't say anything. That'll prove you're a wise man. What are you going to say to your wife on such a day? Your kids have all been killed. Your wife is saying, curse God and die. How do you answer that? Is it best to keep quiet? Or what does wisdom say? Listen, it says, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Saints, there is a time to speak where our wisdom brings forth light and we go, no, no, no. You can't go there. We are often surrounded by foolish statements, terrible statements, but we need to bring wisdom. I've sat with believers that have said terrible things about the ways of God, and I've had to say, no, you're speaking like someone foolish, and I know you're a Christian, I know you love the Lord, but you're speaking like someone who doesn't even believe there's a God in heaven. You can't say that. I once spoke to an older Christian. She said, God let me down, he failed me. I said, you can't say that. Do you know, 3 months and she'd fallen away from the Lord. A mature believer. I was shocked at her words. You don't point the finger at God and say, you disappointed me, you failed me. No. That is foolishness. You can't keep quiet at such a time. Some years ago, I was sitting in Manchester in England, and we were in a house meeting. I was a young man, and I had my authorized King James Version of the Bible, and I'm sitting there. I'm not interested in arguments. I just love the Bible. And this old white-haired preacher, he had a Good News Version of the Bible, and he kept chuckling, nudging me and saying, son, what Bible do you have there? And he said, you need to throw away that old fashioned Bible and get one like mine. And this went on for 15 minutes. And I'm sitting there going, I'm not interested in arguing. I don't want to be getting into a stupid thing. I just love the Word of God. I just love Jesus. And I respect an older brother in Christ. This older man, the Bible says, don't rebuke an elder. I'm not going to rebuke him. I'm just sat there and he kept nudging me, laughing, pointing, shaking my Bible. Well, it got to a point I went, I need to say something. I said, this will go on for the next 2-3 hours. I'll be driven mad. I just said a simple statement. I said, can I ask you a question? Sure, son. I said, see in your version of the Bible, why does it say in that story about Daniel and in Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, why is it in your Bible they actually say, if God is able to deliver us? My Bible says, God is able, but if he delivers us. I said, why is it your Bible denies it? His face dropped. He never spoke to me the rest of the night. Well, we just kept moving on. You see, I've answered a foolish man according to his folly. I've just asked him a question. I haven't been disrespectful. I haven't argued, but he didn't speak to me again all night. I can't say that I was sorry about that. Do you remember the story of the woman caught in adultery with Jesus? The religious bring the woman, she's been caught in adultery. Where's the man? They didn't bring the man, but they brought her. They threw her at the feet of Jesus and they say, we caught her in the very act of adultery. The law, the Old Testament says she needs to die. What do you say, Jesus? They were trying to catch him. You see, Jesus has to give an answer. If he justifies her and says, no, no, it's all grace, it's all love, let her go. He denies the holiness of God's word. He can't do that. Okay, he can't do that. So what if he agrees with them and say, let her die? Yes, the Bible says, let her die. If she was caught and there's witnesses, let her die. She deserves it. God is a holy God. What if he says, I've got to uphold the holiness of God, so she must suffer? He would have denied the love, the grace, the mercy of God. What does he do? Here's all these men, and they're standing there ready for his answer. Is he going to condemn her, or is he going to justify her? And they're all ready, because they know he's caught. How is he going to answer? Well, we know the story. He dropped to his knees, and he began to write in the sand. We don't know what he wrote. Some think it was the sins of the men there. He started revealing all of their sins, and it said one by one they kept leaving. One by one, because he says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. That doesn't mean we're not meant to judge Christians or deal with things in the church. She's a sinner. She's lost. She is condemned by the law of God and ought to die. But so would all of us. Do you know what he's doing? He gets rid of all the accusers. And he says to her, where's your accusers? She looks up, goes, Master, they're gone. Who accuses you? None, they're gone. That's wisdom, saints. Jesus Christ dealt with wisdom. Only wisdom could have given him the answer. Only wisdom could have made him drop to his knees and to lift up his voice in, he who's without sin cast the first stone. He didn't deny holiness, neither did he deny forgiveness and grace. He brought it all together, but it took wisdom. And you know what? We are going to need wisdom in a very real way. We do need wisdom. We need to know when to answer the fool according to his folly, and when not to answer the fool according to his folly. Please stand with me. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you. We praise you. My God, I do need wisdom. We all need wisdom. My God, we're faced with people, with situations and work and family and around us. My God, I confess tonight my need of wisdom. And Lord God, for my friends in this meeting, I pray for your wisdom. Lord God, help them, Lord God, to know when not to speak and when to speak. When to speak to a fool and when not to speak to a fool. How to answer. My God, make us students of your word. Make us students of the character of God. And Lord God, I'm asking of you, Lord God, above anyone in this room, I need wisdom. I need that wisdom to know how to, Lord God, speak a word in due season to those who need it. My God, we're dealing with people and situations and lives. And Lord God, we want that wisdom like the woman condemned in adultery to justify her, to lift her up, to bring her to a place of freedom. My God, we need wisdom in this church to bring sinners out of this city to rescue them. Lord God, to turn many to righteousness. My God, will you deliver us from our own pride and arrogance and mere head knowledge and mere knowledge of our lips. My God, I want so much more. I want to be made wise to the winning of souls. I want to know how to bring people into Christ. My God, I want to know how to encourage the saints. And my God, I confess my utter lack tonight. Lord God, let your wisdom come down in this church. In Jesus' name, I bless you and praise you.